Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
And then skip down to verse 11 and maybe skip around in this chapter and bring out a few highlights in this chapter and preach on this subject of forgiveness. Luke chapter 15, would you just stand with us as we read the Word of God here this morning. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, and then drop down to verse number 11. And the Bible said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Then drop down to verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and bring a ring and put on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, for another privilege to kneel before your presence today. Thank you, Father, for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to stand and, Lord, preach your word one more time. Father, I pray that you'd send the liberty, the power, and the authority of it most of all. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you'd do it again and send the conviction that's needful. I ask, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, you'd do it again. Lord, that you'd do it again and feed our hungry soul. If there be any fruit that's ripe, I ask, dear Lord, that you'd pick it today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this church and the people's here. I pray, Lord, that you'd lead Brother Unger, guide him and direct him. Father, help him to feed their hungry soul through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, those things that are needful, Lord, for their spiritual life. Father, I pray again, Lord, that you'd send an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God today. Father, I ask that you'd speak, Lord, thy servants hear him. And if there be any fruit that's ripe today, I ask, dear Lord, that you'd pick it. For it's in Jesus' name we do try to pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mark chapter 9 in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, there was a man that came to Jesus, and his son was vexed with the devil, and oftentimes he would fall in the fire and he would burn himself and he would foam at the mouth. And he said, Lord, I would that you'd help me and help my son. And Jesus said unto him, If thou believest, all things are possible to him that believe. And in verse 22, the Bible said, And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe. But help thou mine unbelief. You know, Brother Unger, we're commanded to trust in God. We're commanded, Sister Unger, to just believe God and to put our trust in Him. But we live in a time, in a dispensation, where we've got the devil has sold us this bill of goods that God can only do something for somebody else. We get in trouble and we get on the bed of affliction and we get in a hospital bed somewhere and we begin to call on God and we think that God will only work miracles for somebody else. But I won't serve notice on you today that God wants to work miracles in the lives of each and every individual that's in this service today. That's in this you that may be able to get this on the radio, that may be able to get it on the internet, wherever you may receive this message today, I won't serve notice on you that God wants to do something for you. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. I'm glad that we have redemption through His blood. I'm glad that we have the forgiveness of sin, and it's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that shed His precious blood some 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary to save us of our sin and to secure us a home in glory. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, look, there's never been in this day and age that I'm living in today, Paul said, there's never been a man any more wicked than I am. There's never been a man that's been any more deeper in sin and hated the will of God, the Christian life, any more than I do. But Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Brother Unger, Paul admitted that he was the chiefest of sinners. Paul admitted that there was not one that had lived in that day and age that he lived in then that was any more wicked than he was. But I'm glad that 1 John 1:8 and 9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But in verse number 9, he said, but if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We started off this writing here in chapter 15 in verse number 1, and drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Here was a man that claimed to be, and he was, the only begotten Son of God. And yet he was debasing himself, if you please, according to the eyes of man, Brother Unger, by associating himself with the sinners of that day and time. You know, we got a lot of Phariseeism in our church. I know about the Baptist church. We got a lot of Pharisees in the Baptist church. I mean, we got a lot of Sadducees in the Baptist church. And we've got a lot of people that want to look down upon people who are less fortunate than we are. And we got a lot of people in the Baptist church that look down on people that don't have maybe as much as we do. But I'm glad that red or yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. I'm glad that Jesus loved the little children of the world, and not only the little children of the world, but the teenagers and the adults and the older ones. And the older you get, listen, God just keeps on loving. But I'm glad that God's still on the throne, aren't you? But He said in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible said, with that faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Listen, in order to come to God, you've got to believe that He is God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You've got to put your trust in Him. Listen, you've got to believe that God will do something for you, that man there in Mark chapter number 9. He, in verse number 24, he said, Lord, I believe that you can do anything for anybody, but Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Brother Unger, he's like millions and billions of people that are living in America and in the world today that says, I believe God can do anything for anybody, but I'm so wicked and I've done so bad, I just don't believe God will do anything for me. I won't serve notice on you today that you've never get so wicked. You'll never get so bad. You'll never get so low in sin that God will not save you. I said, you'll never get so wicked, you'll never get so bad, you'll never get so down and out in sin that God will never forgive you. But God still forgives, and God's still in the forgiving business. But let me say this today, that forgiveness is not mechanical. You say, preacher, I've heard preachers preach a lot of things, but I don't know what you're talking about. I said, forgiveness is not mechanical. Mechanical is action and reaction. You got a motor, you got an engine in your car, you've got gasoline, you've got a firing mechanism, and you've got this action, Brother Larry, that creates a reaction. And you've got, Brother Unger, you've got one thing that causes something else to react, and it acts and causes something else to react, and there's a process of action and reaction, and then the thing begins to run smoothly and properly. But listen, that's not the way the grace of God is. That's not the way the forgiveness of God is. Listen, God loves to forgive, and God has a desire to forgive whosoever will. Forgiveness is not action causing reaction. You find here in this story that a certain rich man had two sons. And one of them went to his father and said, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And he went on his way. Now, that ain't what he said, but he did go on his way. I threw that part in there. You know what that young son was saying to his father? He said, I want what you've got, but I don't want you. Brother Unger, he's saying, I don't really want to be around you, Dad, anymore, but I want everything that you've got for me that's coming to me. And you know, a lot of people come to the church, come to the place to where that they realize that they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell, and they know they need to be redeemed. They know they need to be saved. They know they need to be forgiven. But they've got this concept, I want to be saved, but I don't want God. Listen, we all talk about the cross of Christ, the Christ of the cross, but nobody wants the cross of Christ. I mean, listen, we all got a cross to bear. And the hymn writer said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Listen, I won't serve notice on you that we all have that cross to bear. Listen, forgiveness is not mechanical. Look here in verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and spare and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He came to himself. He saw himself like he really was. He looked and he saw that the very things that he missed the most, the very things that he needed the most, Brother Unger, were those things that he left down at his father's house. The things, Sister Unger, that he realized that he thought that he didn't need anymore were the things that he missed the most. And neighbor, the things that you think you don't need anymore. Young folk, the things that you think you don't need anymore, you may be thinking, well, I'll be glad when I get 18 years old, I'm going to leave my mom and daddy, and I'm going to go out on my own, and I'm going to make my own fortune, and I'm going to do my own thing. It's not going to take you very long wrong when you get out on your own, that you're going to miss mom and daddy. And you're going to miss the things that mom and daddy gave you. And you're going to miss the good 3 meals a day. And you're going to miss the good 2 meals a day. And you're going to miss the good bed to sleep in. And there are going to be a lot of things that you're going to wish you had, that you just wish, if I could just go back and say, mom and daddy, I'm sorry, give me one more chance, I'll never leave your house again. But mom and daddy may say, well, son, you're already gone. You ain't coming back. There's a lot of folk that's experienced the empty nest syndrome. Me and my wife, we can't seem to experience the empty nest syndrome. Them little jaybirds keep coming back. They keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And we don't never seem like we just don't never get to experience that emptiness syndrome. But listen, God still in the saving business. But here in this story, that young man, he came to himself, and the things that he missed the most were those things that he left behind. And he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You know what he was doing? He looked at himself, and he didn't like what he saw. He looked, you know, in order to get to God, you've got to look at yourself and get looked down on the inside of yourself. And you've got to be sickened about what you see. If you look down into the depths of your heart and you like what you see and you're not living for God and you're living like hell you say, preacher, I wouldn't put it that way. I wouldn't put it either that way, Brother Unger, if I knew a better way to put it. But that's the best way I know how to put it. But if you're living like hell itself, you need to come to God. But this man looked down and he saw in his heart, but listen, if you look down into your heart and you like what you see, then you're in a heap of trouble. You're in real deep trouble if you like what you see down on the inside. But he said, I will arise and go to my father. And he said, I will say unto my father, I've sinned against heaven, and before thee I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He left, and in leaving he said, Lord, he said, Father, I don't want you. He said, Father, I want what you got. I don't want you. He left saying, gimme, 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 gimme when he left. But you know what he was saying when he come back? You know what he was saying when he came back? He left saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. But Sister Unger, he came back saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But he came back and he started back home and he began to rehearse what he was going to say to the Father. He began to practice, Brother Unger, what he was going to say. And he started back home, and I can see him as he said, I'm going to go back down to my father's house, and I'm going to say, Father, I'm no longer, he said, Lord, I know that I left, and I know that I left out of good standing with you, and I know that I left all the good things behind, and I know that I took all that you gave me, and I wasted it all on riotous living, but Father, would you let me come back? You know what he was doing? He thought he was going to go back, Brother Larry, and try to convince the Father to allow him to come back home. You know what's wrong with America today, Brother Unger? We're trying to convince God to do what we want him to do. He was trying to convince God, and he was going to come back, Sister Unger, and he was going to try to talk his father into bringing him back home. God's mind's already made up. He had purposed in his heart that he was going to go back and talk his father and convince his father to forgive him. And he started back home. But one thing, excuse me, that water looks mighty good. One thing that young man did not realize, I believe every, now the Bible don't say this, I believe that, but you got to put this in old-fashioned Tennessee language, and you got to really be from Tennessee to understand what I'm fixing to say. California don't work. Arkansas, it don't work.
Alabama?
Sir?
Alabama?
It's close. Kentucky might work, but it's got to be old-fashioned Tennessee language. But what that young man did not know was that every morning when his father got up, I believe he pulled the shade, I believe he pulled the curtain back every morning. I believe he looked out that front door and he looked down the lane, Brother Unger, hoping to see that young man coming back home. I believe every day when he come home to eat his dinner, he looked down the road before he headed toward the house, and he hoped to see his son coming back home. Every evening when he sat down to eat his supper, I believe when he sat down at the supper table, I believe he sat to where he could look out that door at that window and see that young man coming home. And day after day after day after day, I believe his mama would say, "Pap, you believe our boy's going to come home today?" And he'd say, "Mama, I don't know, but I sure hope he does. I sure hope he's coming home today." And every day that mama and that daddy began to look for that son. But that son started making his way down towards the father's house. And one day that father was, I believe he had come home maybe a little early that day. Or maybe he was still in the field. I don't know where he was. But Brother Unger, he looked and blow and behold, there was a little dust cloud coming up the lane. And he looked and he said, "Could that be my son? Could that be my son coming home?" And I can see that old boy as he was saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And Lord, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Lord, if you'll just make me one of your hired servants." You know what that old boy thought? He thought, "Lord," he said, "my father, it may be possible that he let me back on his property. He may not let him back. He may not let me in his house again. I may not be welcome in his house again. But just let me get on your property again, and Father, I'll be as one of your hired servants." You know, the devil sold to many of people, millions of people, Brother Unger, a bill of goods that you've sinned against God, and you're no longer worthy to be called a child of God anymore, and you've been set out, and you've been put on a shelf, and God can't use you anymore, and God don't know you anymore, and God don't care about you anymore. But I won't serve you on notice. I won't serve notice on you this morning that when that sun came up this morning, I knew that God still loved me because he cares for me, because he let that big sunball come up this morning. God still cares. God's still in the caring business, and God's still in the forgiving business. But that boy started down the road, and he kept repeating to himself, and he kept practicing, and he kept saying, and he kept rehearsing this thing over and over and over again, "I'm going to talk my father into forgiving me." Brother Hunger, we don't have to talk God into forgiving us. You know why? Because God is already willing and waiting to forgive. All God's waiting on us to do, the Bible said there, as we quoted you in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I told you that forgiveness was not mechanical. I mean, sometimes we think that we have to produce some kind of action, that God will produce some kind of reaction. And he was trying to produce or trying to create a mechanical forgiveness. But he started down the road and he got within looking distance of his father's house, and his father seen that dust ball coming up the road, and the father said, "I hope that's my son." And he saw him walking up the road. And he looked, Sister Unger, and he said, "That's my son. That's my son. I know that walk. I'd know it anywhere. I'd know that walk anywhere. That's my son. Nobody walks like he does." And he come up through the lane barefooted, barely enough clothes on, dirty and nasty, stinking because he'd been in the hog pen. But he made his down the road to the father's house saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven. And I've sinned against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Lord, if you'll just make me one of thy hired servants." And Brother Unger, he just kept going down the road saying this little saying to himself. And he kept rehearsing this little saying. And he kept practicing this little saying. And he kept practicing to where he would get it just right when he got down to the Father's house. Listen, you don't have to put every word just right when you call on God. You remember there in St. John chapter 2 when Jesus said at the marriage supper at Cana, Mary didn't come up to him and say about 450 words because they ran out of wine. She said, "They have no wine." Four times she turned around and walked off and went to the servants and said, "Whatever he saith unto you, do it." Four words, all she said. And Jesus fulfilled her desire. Fulfilled her desire. But he started down, and the closer he got, the father said, "That's him. I know that's him." And he tore out running down the road. I mean, listen, he dropped everything he was doing. He said, "Mama, our son's come home." And he dropped everything that he was doing, and he tore out down the driveway, down the lane, and he run, and he met that boy, and he fell. The Bible said he fell on him, and he kissed him. Now, that word "kissed" there simply means multiplied. You know, he didn't kiss him one time. I mean, like when Aunt Susie used to come home and she'd grab you up and she'd kiss you all over your face. I mean, you said, "Get away from me, Aunt Susie, just leave me alone." Listen, that's what he done. He just kissed him all over his face, Brother Unger. And while he was kissing him, he said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and I'm no worthy to be called your child. Father, if you just make me one of your hired servants," I believe that father was saying within his heart, "I ain't worried about what you got to say." He didn't make an answer to that boy. He wasn't worried about what that boy said. He just turned to his servants and said, "Go, get a robe and put on him, and get a pair of shoes and put on his feet, and put a ring on his finger, because my son that was lost has come home." Forgiveness is not mechanical. It's immediate. God is still in the forgiving business. And for purposes of time, verse 25, "And his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near into the house, and heard music and dancing, and called one of his servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any command thy commandment. Thou never gave me a kid that I may make merry with him. As soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him, the fatted calf." You see, forgiveness is not merited. It's not because we merit forgiveness, but it's because, not because we deserve forgiveness, not because we earn forgiveness, it's not because we ought to have the forgiveness, but it's because God wants to forgive. I would that you stand. I would that there's so much more in this, but maybe I can come back sometime and finish it up. But I cut it off because of the radio broadcast. I won't try to put this on my radio broadcast. But listen, Forgiveness is not mechanical. It's not what you do, but it's what he did 2,000 years ago that makes the difference. I said it's not what you do, but what he did 2,000 years ago that makes the difference. Forgiveness is God's, and forgiveness belongs to God. Folk, listen. I'm going to turn this over to Brother Unger. Let him give an invitation and do as God lays upon his heart. And maybe, I hope all of us here that are saved, but you may know somebody that's in need of a Savior, that's in need of forgiveness. Maybe you can take these few bits of wisdom to point that individual to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And my prayer is that this message will go out to a lost and dying world, that souls can be saved and that lives can be changed. Brother Unger.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.